Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to the XCast. The truth is in here. I am Carl Sweeney, your host for today, and this is the beginning of our coverage of episode 8 of season 11, which is called Familiar. And joining me today to discuss this episode is Andrew Blaker. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Carl. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, thanks. So you're stepping in, thankfully, because Andrew Brooker was supposed to be here, but he couldn't make it in the end. So thanks for filling the breach.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a little while, hasn't it? I mean, you spoke to Tony about episode 1. I think you were with me for the episode 2 mailbag episode, weren't you? So
yeah.
Let's just have a quick word on what you've made of season 11, like, since then, if you don't mind.
Sure. Dramatic improvement over season 10, which is something I'll be forever grateful for. We've had a run of pretty solid episodes, in my opinion. And some of what we complained about in season 10, I think we have kind of rectified this go around. We've seen more of Skinner. He's had much more of more character development, I'd say. And we've had much more more of the classic feel of the original series episodes, which I think most of us are real happy about. And this episode is actually a perfect example of that.
Yeah, so let's start then. I mean, we're going to focus primarily today on Mulder and Scully, but I think it's good to start with some general thoughts on the episode, which we've just seen. Oh, well, I saw it last night. I assume you saw it two nights ago as we're speaking. So, yeah, take it away. Give us some overall thoughts on this episode to kick us off then, Andrew.
Well, it's a very by-the-numbers episode, I'd say. You know, you're thrown back into really what feels like it could be a season 2, season 3 episode. Not just in terms of the Mulder-Scully dynamic, but the way the episode was shot, the way the episode was written, the way the episode was directed, in my view. I feel like it was just a solid, solid episode. For me, it wasn't extraordinary, but it was a classic episode, had the classic feel of an episode, and that's exactly, at this point in time, what I'm looking for from the show.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the title, Familiar, is very apt because it felt so familiar, didn't it? In a lot of ways, like when the revival was first announced and when it became clear they were going to be reassigned, you know, to the X-Files, this is the kind of thing I was sort of envisaging, you know. I mean, I obviously couldn't dream up the specifics, but like you say, like the feel of it and the tone, it's very early seasons, isn't it? So yeah, I really liked that about the episode.
Yeah, no, I did. I really did. I felt like a lot of what we know, a lot of what we identify as classic X-Files was here. We had a great supporting cast of characters that were more than just kind of background characters, too. They had some flesh to them, and they had some background and story. And seeing Mulder and Scully set against those characters, you know, my favorite episode are the classic procedural ones, and I keep saying classic, but I feel like it is just, I mean, this could have been back in the early seasons of the show. This very well could have been set back then, and you probably wouldn't have known much of a difference.
Yeah, and we'll explore some aspects of that as we go along. But let's begin by kind of talking a little bit about Duchovny and Anderson's performances then. Because I've been, you know, much more impressed this season than I was in season 10. And, you know, I'd extend that to this episode. I think they're finding the right kind of register for their performances consistently at the moment. Would you agree?
I would. I mean, when you look back on some of the season 10 episodes, it felt like you were watching Duchovny and Anderson just kind of, you know, putting on a skit of sorts. And this, you definitely see the characters. Most of the episodes had, I think, pretty good characterization. and, you know, overall it's been a dramatic improvement.
All right, so let's begin, or let's continue with, you know, where they are as this episode kind of kicks off after the teaser. So they're on the scene, aren't they, in the forest. There's this kind of, you know, the child's been killed. It's a suspected animal attack. Or that's how it's being presented. But Scully kind of immediately doubts it, doesn't she? And she's sort of saying, you know, she doesn't rule out murder. And obviously Mulder has his own ideas. So I'm kind of interested in what you make of, like, the precise balance they get into of this line of kind of skeptic-believer dynamic. And the reason I say that is because I've seen some people who are kind of critical of it, you know. They're saying, like, you know, Scully's acknowledged spontaneous combustion in the episode Trevor, or she's seen direct evidence of witchcraft in season 7 Thief. So, I don't know. I've got some thoughts on that. But what do you make of that?
Well, in terms of rewriting the show's history, I guess, as you say, some of the criticism is very fair about the fact that, you know, Scully has seen some of these before. And, you know, that is something that most any fan recognizes with the new episodes starting season 10 onward, that, you know, the writers sometimes forget things that have happened before. And I think part of the reason is, you know, you have so many different writers and producers and directors working on it that there doesn't seem to be one central person keeping consistency as their top priority, which, you know, whatever. But as a fan, I think there's a point where you have to be able to overlook some of that, because it is frustrating. You're right. I mean, she has seen this before, and it's not coming to me right now, but there was an episode earlier this season, too, where Scully said something that directly contradicted, oh, it was plus one, when you're saying evil didn't exist. But if you go back to Orison in season 7 with Donnie Faster, you know, that's a direct contradiction of what she said before. So there's merit to that. And that's just the way the show is now, and that's probably the way the show will be if it ever returns again. What I thought, one criticism I do have of the Mulder-Scully dynamic in this episode was that it is a little bit flipped. You know, Scully's the medical doctor. Mulder has the background as a criminal profiler. But in this episode, Scully jumps in pretty much right off the bat as a profiler. Now, she's done this work for years. I mean, you know, I'm not saying she can't speak like a profiler. She certainly can. But Mulder's background seems to kind of have been forgotten in that regard. You know, Scully's the medical doctor. She's also the criminal psychologist. And she's got, you know, she's kind of the presented in this case as the top authority on this, kind of speaking down to the local PD. That was something that felt a little rough to me, because I think Mulder could have been given a little bit more to do with the profiler role. But, you know, as I said, some of those criticisms are just things that you just roll with, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll be honest, the stuff about disregarding previous continuity really doesn't bother me much at all, because, like you say, it's not just from when they picked up in season 10, though. I mean, this has always been the case, I think, that
yeah,
there are instances of this all throughout the series. So it's not a new thing, is what I'm saying. I can't really understand why somebody would have a problem with it in season 11 and, you know, have had no issues like that prior to that, basically.
No, and that you're right. You're right. That's a very good point. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's you know, there's never been a show Bible. You know, this is one difference between the X-Files franchise as opposed to, say, I don't know much about these, but Star Trek, Star Wars, franchises that have had more of a, let's say, consistent show Bible throughout, where, you know, if you contradict something, you're going to have millions of fans online coming after you. Well, this show is different in that regard. We're not the same size as those fandoms. So I think, you know, for better or for worse, depending on what you see as it, yes, consistency has always been a down point for this show.
And actually, I saw somebody, I can't remember who this was though, but commenting online the other day saying, like, you know, Scully kind of has to adopt the opposite position to Mulder to get the best out of him and vice versa. And I liked that analysis of it too, because I hadn't really thought of it in those terms before. So let's move on. So there's an autopsy scene, which I quite liked, where, you know, it starts with a shot where the way they're framed kind of on either side of the table kind of recalls the pilot episode. And there's this discussion of what it's like to deal with child death, isn't there? And it's kind of seemed to me like an oblique reference to William. You know, Mulder says it's hard not to take it personally. And there's actually a direct reference to William later on, isn't there, when Mulder's interviewing the mother and she asks him if he has any children. And what I liked about it was, you know, he does acknowledge that William's his son, and, you know, thankfully we haven't reverted back to Mulder being a bit kind of equivocal about, you know, being William's father, you know.
Right, that was a nice touch. That was a touch that I'm personally am appreciative of, because it's, you know, even though William's, aside from that one mention, not explicitly referenced, you know, you get the idea that, you know, here are two people in middle age, so to speak, who, you know, are looking back on not only their work, but, you know, in this case involving very young children who have been killed in a horrific manner. You know, it's extraordinarily subtle and probably unintended by the writer, but I felt like it did a good job of kind of balancing where we are this season with what we've seen of William so far.
Let's get into the kind of didactic element of this episode a bit, you know, kind of the preachy aspect of it, you know, because there's lots of stuff about mob justice and witch hunts. And I think we'll get into this a bit more in the second podcast on this episode as well. But again, they kind of set up this binary opposition between the two of them, don't they? Where Mulder's, this is when they're talking about the sex offender who becomes a suspect. And Mulder says, you know, most of these people would agree with you, and that's what scares me. And Scully's saying, you know, well, we've got to start somewhere on this investigation. And Mulder comes back and says, you know, look, you and this mob are reconvicting him for the sins of his past. And the issue I kind of had with that is, you know, Mulder lumping Scully in with the mob just seemed a bit overdone to me. I don't know if you felt that or not.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand what you're saying with that. It did feel definitely a bit preachy, a bit didactic, probably. Yeah.
Well, I think it's like, you know, Scully's instincts seemed very understandable to me. So just like the linking of her with the angry mob that had sprung up seemed a bit much. I don't know. I think it probably could have been a bit more deft. You know, it could have, maybe a line or two could have been rewritten, and it might have sat more easily with me, at least, you know.
Sure. No, it makes perfect sense. I mean, I do think, as I said, sometimes subtlety is a little not the best in these episodes. And I think that this is a case of that happening where, you know, you're kind of trying to make the episode a bit more, let's say, relevant with everything that's going on in our current society, and very valid points, but you also risk being a little too, you know, on the nose about it.
Yeah, and it seemed to me, I don't know if you picked up on this, but it seemed like some of those exchanges, there was a bit of ADR dialogue, you know, where they'd kind of looped in some additional lines. It seemed that way to me anyway. I wonder if they'd made it, you know, more clear, more on the nose, or exactly how they reworked the dialogue. But we'll never know unless we get a deleted scene or something, I guess, on a DVD. Let's talk a bit then, because this is one of those episodes, really, and they sort of fell out of fashion as the series moved on, you know, past the early years. But it's where Mulder and Scully are basically like a two-person Greek chorus, you know. They're kind of wandering through the episode, commenting on the action, not really affecting it all that much. I mean, they do have some effect on it, but like one example would be that scene in the courtroom where, like, they're literally, the courtroom hearing is going on. The judge is speaking to the counsel, but they're kind of whispering in the back, and, you know, they're kind of spelling things out for us, the audience, you know. And it's just an interesting question, I think, in terms of, like, people talk a lot about agency, like narrative agency. And in episodes like this, Mulder and Scully don't really have very much agency at all. But in this example, I don't really see it as a problem, you know.
I caught myself wondering how, when the last time had been we'd seen Mulder and Scully in a courtroom like this. You know, we've seen them in a scene like that before, but this one where they're just kind of watching the proceedings, not really having any role to do that, it struck me as kind of an odd scene. It fit in this episode, but, you know, I couldn't think of a previous time we'd had a scene like that.
It's been a little while, I think. And yeah, at first I wondered how much of a time jump there had been. I don't think there'd been a great amount of time elapsed. But yeah, their kind of passive role kind of extends to the end of the episode, doesn't it? Because they don't really succeed in this one, do they? Because Anna burns alive You know, they don't manage to intervene successfully there. And at the end of the episode, you know, Mulder's saying, he makes the point, you know, there's no getting out of this town, Scully, not these days. And we'll get a bit more into what he was on about there, maybe in the next podcast. I actually found it quite refreshing because, like, one of my favourite X-Files episodes is the Handy Valette in season 2. And that's another episode where they're kind of a step or two behind Mulder and Scully all the way through. You know, they're kind of chasing events, yeah. This felt like that to me. This felt like a real throwback in that sense.
Yeah, no, it almost felt like a companion piece in a way. And I thought that it was, you know, the fact that the Anna was the one who had kind of awakened a curse, so to speak, but that with her death, it, you know, it's still there. It's, she brought about something that was beyond her, and it's, you know, it's not resolved, and Mulder and Scully really had nothing to do with, you know, solving a mystery in this particular episode, which, you know, like you said, several episodes have done that before, but I really liked how it was presented in this case. You know, the events are happening and they're pretty much not able to do anything about it.
Yeah, and it's a real contrast, isn't it, with, like, the mythology, the way it's developed, where, I mean, like, they've always had a personal interest in it, or, like, Mulder especially has, where he'd, you know, he had his sister's abduction to contend with. Then they both got more and more involved as the years went on. And then, you know, these new mythology episodes are all about the kind of interpersonal dynamics of, like, Mulder, Scully, Smoking Man, William, you know. So it's almost like you've got two shows in one, aren't you? When you've got episodes like this, where they're kind of peripheral. They kind of exist in this story to kind of move the investigation on a bit, don't they? And kind of explain things to us.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, what's the right balance, you know? How often should the show be doing stuff like this?
I think it really comes down to if you have a good supporting cast of characters. And I feel like in this episode, they have enough opportunity to kind of flesh out the four big leads of the parents in this story. There's several, you know, older episodes from the original series, so to speak, where you do have Mulder and Scully in the background, and yet you don't really have a good, solid cast to bring to the forefront. So the episodes usually end up feeling a bit, you know, underwhelming. But I think in this episode, I don't know, I enjoy kind of seeing Mulder and Scully. I always want them at the center of the investigation, but I enjoy seeing other characters brought to the forefront too, to kind of see how they work in the context of the show. I felt like in this episode, it was pretty well handled.
I mean, I wonder if this episode had come earlier in the revival, you know, if they'd done something like this early in season 10, for example, I wonder if it would have calmed a few fears from fans who, I get the sense this episode has scratched a nice itch for quite a lot of fans.
Yeah.
Who found this a really, you know, I guess reassuring is the wrong word, but, you know, they found something comfortable about this episode, which is kind of funny to say, given it was so kind of extreme, but you know what I mean, I think.
I do. No, in a way it is. I mean, yes, an extreme, you know, pretty creepy, sometimes gory episode, but in a way it is comfortable because, you know, you know the dynamic. You've had, you know, 9 seasons or whatever of that dynamic. And it really does feel like just a kind of worn in kind of episode. And I mean that in a good way, because, you know, if you just want to turn on the X-Files and kind of get immersed in that world and that, you know, that procedural, that dynamic, this is that kind of episode. It's not an extraordinary episode in my view, but it does, you know, it does scratch that itch, so to speak, of people looking for just classic X-Files, classic Mulder and Scully. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the way, too, they kind of signal that, because, you know, they didn't mess around with the tagline on this one. The episode title isn't, like, unpronounceable or, you know, very difficult to use in conversation like some of the other episode titles we've had this season.
To what are you referring, Carl? I don't know.
Yeah, well, the worst example was RM9 whatever from last week, wasn't it? But, you know, I mean, it's very difficult, isn't it, to have a conversation about an episode called The Lost Art of Forehead Sweat, for example, you know, and that kind of thing. Yeah, anyway, we'll pick this up again tomorrow, I think, Andrew, and I think the best way to proceed would be to get into some of the other elements of the episode. So I'm thinking of things like Mr. Trickle Teeth, the Biggle Tiggles, you know, and basically all the good townsfolk of Eastwood, Connecticut. So we'll get into some of those aspects tomorrow if you're game.
Absolutely.
Excellent. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter @X_cast or on Facebook @X-Files Basement, the X-Cast podcast fan group. Join us tomorrow, but until next time, trust no one.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.